Well, we've been talking about the Word of God always, right? We say that, we kind of say it because that's the topic every week. But we've been specifically focusing in on who we are as the Word of God. And that when Jesus comes into the heart, he comes into us as the Word of God. For in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So it's important for us to begin to understand that when I receive Jesus, I am receiving the word from God, who I am. That's what Jesus came to describe. So when Jesus began to call his disciples unto himself, he began to speak some very important things to them. What did he tell them? When he first embraced Peter, James, and John, what were they doing? Who were they? They're fishermen. They're casting their nets. And Jesus said, he called them to himself and he said, come and follow me. And I will teach you to do what? Fishers of men. How would you be a fisher of men? How would you do it? How would you be a fisher of men? Is there a net that needs to be cast out? And as you fill the net and you begin to bring it in, do you want it to be full of fish or do you want it to be full of men who are the word of life? How do you want it? So if we have an expectation that when I cast the net, and I'm going to be a fisher of men, those men that I bring in, what are they going to bring to me? The word of God. They're going to bring to me the word of faith. That's awesome. As we go forth in this life, in the word of God, it's amazing how God begins to present to us a word and begins to describe it in unsolving or unraveling the mystery within. And the word that we are begins to be made known to us. That's an incredible thing. So I'm going to turn to Psalms 138 this morning. Beautiful psalm. I'm going to read it in the King James Version. And it says this: I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. Now, I thought there was only one true God. But David is writing that before the gods, I sing your praise. Who are the gods? Anybody want to take a hit at that? Okay. Things that we exalt or worship within ourselves, right? Things that need to be changed or altered by the word of God. Things that haven't been overcome or conquered in our mind yet, those are the gods of our mind, the gods of our world, the gods of our heart that we have empowered. David's saying, I sing, I give thanks with my whole heart before the gods, I sing your praise. In other words, as he rehearses the word of God in his mind, are the gods that exist in his world, are they hearing the word of truth? That's why it's important for us, folks. It's if we live in the fellowship and live in the word of God, then is not our whole being, our whole mind being converted by the word that we meditate on and repeat and sing the praises of the one true Lord? Is that not developing in us? Is it not taking place? You know, I look at, because we live in this world, all of a sudden we get our mind entangled in many things, don't we? I mean, I guess the news this week was that President Trump, they tried to assassinate him. But all of a sudden our mind becomes entangled in those things. How can we change those things? You know how you can change those things in yourself? Go back to the word of God. So we sang in this song, right? Come, Jesus, come. We need you right now. Do you know that you have the power that God hath given to you to bring Jesus on the scene to overcome every obstacle, every thought, every voided thing that's in your mind? You have the power in the word of God to rehearse it in yourself and overcome it all. Today, now, today, if you will hear his voice, yes.
So when you sit and say that your wife called you to tell you that President Trump was hit,
Ellen,
you called. I'm sorry. What? Why is that wrong? I don't understand why
No,
that's wrong to go look.
it wasn't. Not at all. It's just that those things can find a place in our thoughts where that's all we think about, right? And we get entangled in it.
Clearly, that's what got him someone to the point of shooting.
That's what the guy that shot him,
Right.
he was entangled in it, right? That's
Right.
what right. That's what I'm saying. That's not the place that we want to be. I was thinking about this morning also. What is the work of Satan? What does he want to do to you?
Kill, steal, and destroy.
Kill, steal, and destroy. So how many of you have ever thought about murdering someone? Come on, literally or figuratively, either one, right? Either way. I mean,
Okay, yes.
I have had it in my mind that I would like to take someone out because they upset me. They committed a fallacy against my world, and I wanted to take them out. I've had that thought in myself. Now, if I lingered in that thought, stayed in that thought, to where that thought began to overtake my mind, what would be the manifestation of it? I might just do it. So when we see these things happening, how did that person get to the point? The way it happened was he gave himself to the thought of it until he did it. None of us are exempt from that. Very wicked. With the wrong God. So we have many gods in us and we begin to fellowship with the wrong God. What can the manifestation be in us? The wrong manifestation. How many of you have ever thought about that? It's true. It's very true. Think about how many of us has ever been upset with at other drivers driving down the road. We've talked about this before. The more we say it, the more aggravated we become. Anybody been there?
Yep.
A couple times a day?
On the way here.
Yeah, on the way here. On the way to church this morning. On the way to serve the living God. Yes. That's how the flesh is so weak when it comes to us. But do you not think that the word that God has given to you to become is more powerful that will separate you from all the works of your mind to bring you into the mind of Christ? I believe that. But is he working to bring you, to keep you in the remembrance of it? So these things become very important to us. More important than living in the discontentment and living in the frustration, those other gods working in the mind. Now, in the New Testament, it calls them what? It doesn't call them gods. It calls them what? Evil spirits. That's what it calls them. And the works of them, we were reading some of them last week and we counted them. How many were there? 17. Where do we read that at? Galatians? Counted 17 of them. You think there's more than 17? Oh, man. There are more than 17. How many fruits of the Spirit did we read? Huh? 9. Just about half as many. You think that's all there is? No, absolutely not. But I can tell you that one fruit in the kingdom of heaven will take out 17 wicked spirits, thoughts that are not productive in your mind. One word from God will save your soul. That's the truth. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down towards your holy temple to give and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your fullness. You have exalted above all things your name and your word. Now, you know how the King James says that right there? That you have exalted your word above your name. So in Revelation 19, it begins to describe Jesus on a white horse. Shall we go there and read it for your sakes this morning? Let's do. Let's go to Revelation chapter 19 and we'll read it again for your purposes. And let me start with verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened. So if heaven's opening up, where's that taking place? Out here? Where's it taking place? In your mind. You've come to a place in your consciousness where now heaven's open to you because you believe the word of God. And in believing the word of God and heaven being open to you, now God's going to speak to you. And I saw a white horse. Behold, a white horse, and one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. By that word of God that God has given to you, what's he doing in you? What's being created? Is there an image being created for you? So I can either take it literally in the word of God, or I can enter into the mind of Christ and let Christ begin to create that same word in me to where I become it. That's the difference between knowledge and believing. Believing, you're in a place of mind where heaven can be open. You can enter into the kingdom of heaven and God can begin to show you and demonstrate in you the power of that word. Knowledge doesn't provide you that opportunity. Believing God does. That's why when Abraham believed God, God counted it to him for righteousness. In other words, Abraham allowed the word of God that he received to open his mind, believe God, it pleased God, and God gave him faith. Faith to become the word of God. That's why Abraham still lives today. Faith entered into eternal life. Abraham entered into eternal life by the word that he received from the Father. Likewise, your only access into the Father is to believe the word of God. Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. That's your access. And just as it has always worked, it will work in you. Isn't that what Dan was saying to us a few weeks ago when he was here? He was saying it. Your access is the word of faith. Your access is the word of God. The word of God is Jesus Christ from heaven. And Jesus Christ, this is where we miss it. Jesus Christ entered in to death for your sake, to take away sin and death so that you now have access into the kingdom of heaven. So if I believe the word of God, if I believe in Jesus, where can I enter in? Can I enter into the kingdom of heaven? And can I hear from God? And the answer is yes. Let me go on. And in righteousness, he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. So who knows his name? Who knows his name? He does. So if I receive the word of God, if I receive Jesus Christ, then what can I know? I can know his name. And if I know his name, I now have access. Because I can call upon the name of the Lord and do what?
Be saved.
He can give me the understanding of his name. I can know his name. And when I call upon the name of the Lord, he is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. And the name by which he is called is what? The word of God. So when God sees you, does he see you as Eli in that body of flesh? Or does he see you as he created you from the beginning as the word of God? That's how he sees you. That's how he knows you. That's how he takes you and redeems you and puts you back into the understanding of that word and puts you into the body of Christ. Because the body of Christ is what? The word of God. So now when I begin to live and move and function in the gifts of God, what am I performing? I'm performing the wonderful works of God by the power of what? The word of God. That's how powerful. That's why the word is so important. Doesn't the Bible say that everything we perceive, even in the carnal mind, even in the flesh, everything that we perceive was framed and formed by what? The word of God. The word of God. He did it all. There's no consciousness or no perception that we can enter into where God is not known as the word of God. And yet in our minds, we view it so simplistically or not powerfully enough to where it can perform its work. But I'll tell you this, I believe that even though we don't understand it, who does? Who knows his name? God does. And so whether we receive it in understanding or not, what's that word doing? It is working. Let me go on. I'm going to come back now to, everybody with me, what we read in Revelation 19? So let's come back to 138, Psalms 138. You have exalted above all things your name and your word. The day I called, you answered me. My strength of soul you increased. So now, because of the word of God, David could call upon who? He could call upon the name of the Lord. And what would happen? God would answer him. So Jesus even said, because Jesus knew who he was, right? He would stand before the people and he'd say, Father. And he knew did he know who was going to answer him? He did know. He knew. And he would actually say, I say this for their sake, for I know that you hear me always. That's what Jesus would say. I know that you hear me always. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. Now let's talk about the kings of the earth. Who are they? Are they those same gods in your mind? Yeah. Are you not the earthen vessel? So those kings and kingdoms that we read about, are they not in you? And I could go back to the same book of Revelation, and in the book of Revelation, it would say that the kingdoms of this earth have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. We used to sing an old song, John, an old hymn called I Surrender All. Anybody remember that song? And it's the truth of it. When we begin to surrender everything before the Lord, every kingdom that we have within us becomes subjected to the word of God, becomes this subjected to Jesus Christ. So now all the kingdoms of the world are his. I used to live in the thought in my mind that I never have to worry about being wealthy ever. And the reason is because every kingdom of this world is subjected to Jesus Christ. And in Christ, I'm the wealthiest man that ever lived. Because my wealth is invested in materialistic things outwardly in perception. My wealth is vested in the understanding that he gives in the word of God. Seeing everything that's against me is overcome. And I stand as a son according to the word of God. I've been cleansed, changed. So now I see the word of God as Christ himself. Christ is no longer something that's separated apart, but I now see and understand him as the word of God, who he has always been from the beginning. If John saw it, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, then in the transformation, by that same word in me, what do I become? I become the word of God. And in that I can live and move and have my being, and my thoughts become like his thoughts. His ways become my ways, as it says in Isaiah 58, I believe it is. Isaiah 55. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For my thoughts are what? Higher than your thoughts, and my ways are higher than your ways. So then when I begin to perceive him as the word of God and it begins to transform my mind, now my thoughts are what? And my thoughts are his thoughts. My ways are his ways. And it changes me. All the kings of the earth shall give you thanks, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he knows from afar. He knows the thoughts of every man. Does he know your thoughts? Does he know every one of your thoughts? You can't hide from God. How many of you know you have a lot of thoughts that do not regard God? How does God perceive them? We just read it. He only knows them from afar. It's just like your sin. Does God hold your sin against you? No, because the word that he gave you is doing what for your sin? It's overcoming it. Does he trust that word? Does he know it? How come he knows it so well? It's him. Let me read this to you. I'm going to read from Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Is it hot in here? It just got hot. That's because the word is now working. The word's working. It turned up the heat. I'm going to start with verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Now, what did he just say? We have what? Confidence to enter in. Because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, we have confidence to enter in. How many of you have the confidence in the sacrifice of Jesus to enter in? Isn't that the whole question? Isn't that what we begin to talk about right off the bat? Mm-hmm. The way has been made for us to enter into the kingdom of heaven, to enter into the mind of Christ. You ever considered it that way, Frankie? You have the ability through the word of God to enter into the mind of Christ. When Jesus came in the flesh and was crucified for your sin and to free you from the handholds or the strongholds of death, he gave you the ability to enter in to the kingdom of heaven and to understand by a new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain that is through the flesh. So we all know that when Jesus was crucified, the veil that was in the temple, when Jesus was crucified, what happened to the veil?
Right.
It was rent in two from top to bottom because of the power of his blood. And what did that veil hide from us all? The holiest of holies. So where the mercy seat was and where the Spirit of God sat on the mercy seat and that intercessory prayer ascended before God day and night. And now it's not hidden from us anymore. That's where the mind of God is made known in the believer. And that's why the scripture said that Jesus makes intercession for us always concerning the will of God. I read to you last week that when Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. What did he do for you? Did he not finish the work that the Father sent him to do? So let me ask you a question for yourself. When you say in yourself, not my will, but thy will be done, what takes place for you? Say it again.
A release.
Okay. What are the three things that we've asked you to do when it comes to the word of God? Submit, obey, and agree. Do you know that when Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done, that every one of us now had a way to be sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ? So that when you agree with the work of the word of God in you, what happens, John? What was the thing that Dan began to speak almost 12 years ago? What was that?
Sanctify
the Lord. And all you had to do to be sanctified, to sanctify the Lord, was agree with the word of God. That's all. All you had to do was agree with the word of God. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, who's our great priest? Jesus Christ, right? King, priest, and prophet. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So now the word of God, what's it continuing to do in you? Is it sanctifying you? Is it justifying you? Is it going to glorify you? With what? The Bible says he glorifies you with the same glory that he had. It's the same glory that he has. So now you are sanctified, justified, glorified by what? By the word of God. That's the power of the word and how it works in you. So that the mind is being set free and you're being delivered into the hands of God, not just on a minute by minute basis, but by everything that is ever measured from the beginning. It is now becoming who you are. So every thought of God, whether it be good or evil, because it's God, who understands evil better than anyone? God does. Does that mean he is evil, or does that mean he understands evil so that he can rule over it? You cannot rule over something you do not understand. But when he gives you the understanding of it, whether it be good or evil, now you can rule over it all. That's why Jesus said, I'm in this place on the throne of God, ruling till what? My enemies become what? Footstool. Until I rule over it all in completion, in perfection. Eli, can you imagine, Aubrey, can you imagine Jesus Christ being so strong in you to where your mind becomes the mind of the Lord? You know, you will know how God created heaven, how God created the earth, and how God created you. Go to 139, Psalms 139. I'm going to end with this. I could read this whole thing, but I'll refrain from that. I'm going to start reading with verse 13, just to finish the thought I just mentioned, especially for the young people. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. This is talking about God, right? It's talking about the Word of God. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. So how did God make you? Fearfully and wonderfully. Now, he's talking about the Word of God, not about your body of flesh. He's talking about who you are in him and always have been in him. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written. In the book it is written of me. What does it say in that? In the book it was written of me. I come to do what? I come to do your will, O Lord. So now how the Father sees you, how the Father perceives you, what he knows you to be in the Word of God, it's written in the book. So just as Jesus said it to you, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. I come to do thy will, O Lord. What is he putting in you by that same word? It's written in the book. I come to do thy will, O Lord. That's what's written in the book. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me when I was yet there was none of them. So I'm going to stop there this morning. That's how well we could go on and read about the thoughts of God in that same chapter. So who are you? 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 Everyone at this table, who are we? We're the thoughts of God. And you know what God calls us? Sons. In the prophecy of Jesus Christ, we're called sons. Do you think God doesn't love his word? Do you think God doesn't raise his word up? I know that he does. And he proved it to us in his son, Jesus Christ. Raised it from the dead. Put it in the earth for a purpose. To separate us from sin and death, right? And then he did what with it, Frankie? He raised it from the earth.
Yeah.
And he does the same for you when you know and understand that you are who he says you are, the Word of God. And he sets you apart unto himself, and you become his son. That's why 1 John, let's go there. Now, this really defines who we are. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children or the sons of God. King James Version says sons of God. And so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So what hides the Son of God that God knows you to be? What hides it from you? The world. The world hides the Son of God from you. And the more we give power to the world, is that darkness remain great in us? The less we see God. God does not want you to miss out on what he has raised you to be. Let me go on. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. When? Now. So in this song, it says, Jesus, come. What does it say? It says it wants to come to heal every hurt, right every wrong. We need you right now. So if you begin to agree with the Word of God, what do you receive right now, Frankie? You receive Jesus. The light comes into the darkness. The darkness is taken away. Everything that hurts in your mind, what happens to it? It's you. Beloved, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet appeared. Because it's hidden from us, right? But we know that when Jesus appears, we shall be like Jesus. Because we will see him as he is. So what do you have to do to see Jesus?
Believe
that he is God. Believe, agree with that, and he will open your eyes and you will see yourself as the Word of God. You will see yourself as the Son. Amen. I hope this has helped you guys this morning, everyone that's online and everyone that's here presently today. Wednesday, when we get together, we're going to continue this, continue talking about these things, and continue to set forth the prophecy of sonship, because it's in the prophecy of sonship where the truth that you are is made known in you. Because all prophecy is what? The testimony of Jesus Christ. All prophecy is the testimony of Jesus, the one true and living God. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Yeah, John?
Hey, Dave, I like that analogy of the world tries to tell you. Because the world tries to tell you something different from what you really are. And that separation has to happen. That's where that belief comes in.
Why did God send his son into the world? John 3:16. Why did he send it? Yeah, to save us and give us what? Everlasting life. That's why he sent Jesus into the world. So now, Jesus has been sent into the world. What are you doing? You're going to believe in Jesus. So if you have those fishermen in you and they're out casting their nets and Jesus begins to call them forth, are you going to follow Jesus? I hope you do. I hope you follow Jesus. It's amazing that when Peter received the vision of the sheets coming down out of heaven in Acts, the 10th chapter, can you recall that? The sheets came down out of heaven, and in them were unclean beasts. In Peter's mind, in the dream, he interpreted them as unclean beasts. And God said, take, eat. Would Peter eat of them? Peter argued with God. God said, eat. Three times God said, Peter, eat. Three times Peter said, no, I don't eat of those unclean things. And God told Peter, everything I have made is what? Clean. You mean that evil is clean? How does evil become clean? You understand it. And Peter would just not agree. He couldn't get there in his mind. He couldn't agree with God. And what did Peter have that you don't have? He had the Holy Ghost sent from heaven. And yet he still did what? Still argued with God.
Wrong perception.
That's why he had the dream. Because now in the dream, as he's gone on the way to Cornelius's house, all of a sudden God begins to interpret the dream for him. And when God begins to interpret the dream for Peter, all of a sudden the unclean beasts turn into what? They turn into men. Oh, so now all of a sudden Peter, who was casting his net into the sea to catch fish, the net is now catching what? Men. He's catching men. And he goes to Cornelius's house. The door is open to Peter. And immediately, Peter opens up his mouth. Now, the word that was in the mouth, that is nigh, that word that changed the heart, Peter opens it, opens the mouth, opens the gateway for the word of God to come forth. And it goes into the Gentile. And it opens up the door to the kingdom of heaven in the Gentile. And of a truth, this is what proceeds out of Peter's mouth. Of a truth, God is no respecter of persons. Peter said that by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the word of God. I think that blew Peter away. I said that. No, you didn't, Peter. He didn't understand. Did God give him the understanding? Yeah. Did God change the understanding for him? Is he going to change it for you? Absolutely. He is. And he's doing it right now. Amen. Amen. God bless you today. Thank you all for being here.